Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop on this Fine Food Friday, October 7th. I'm Ray Graff. I think we have an exciting and interesting and exotic show for you today. First, we welcome back Chef Serge Medikian of Saravan in Amenia, New York, and welcome for the first time Naomi Duguid, who is a writer, photographer, teacher, cook, and world traveler, and whose cookbooks have won a combined 14 cookbook awards. Her latest book, Taste of Persia, A Cook's Travels Through Armenia, Azerbaijan, Georgia, Iran, and Kurdistan, was released last month. Give us a call now at 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551, A Taste of Persia. Your calls, your email at voxpop@wamc.org, all coming up on Vox Pop Food Friday, right after the news. Hello, once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop Food Friday on WAMC. It's a live afternoon call-in talk show. If you've never tuned in before, I'm Ray Graff. We travel a little further east than we usually go on Food Friday today. We welcome back Chef Serge Medikian. Chef Medikian is the culinary mind behind Saravan in Armenia. He's known for the Armenian and Iranian influences he brings to the Hudson Valley cuisine. He has a reverence for fresh, healthy, and local food. He's been a guest on these airwaves a couple of times before. Always a great guest. Always an interesting person to talk about and talk with. We also are happy to welcome today, for the first time, Naomi Duguid. Naomi Duguid is a writer, photographer, teacher, cook, and world traveler whose cookbooks have won a combined 14 cookbook awards. She is the author of a brand new one, just released last month, Taste of Persia, A Cook's Travels Through Armenia, Azerbaijan, Georgia, Iran, and Kurdistan. So, both of you, welcome to the program. Nice to have you here.
Very nice to be here.
Nice to be here. Thanks for having us.
So glad we could make it happen. Let's talk cooking today. Give us a call. The number is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. And you can also email the program, voxpop@wamc.org. In lieu of a producer, I'll be watching the email myself. So if I if I miss your email, I apologize in advance. But give it a shot, voxpop@wamc.org. And the number, once again, 800-348-2551. Naomi, this is a splendid, mammoth, beautifully illustrated book you have written. Why do you want to write that book?
Why there? Why that?
Yeah.
Well, thanks for the compliment. I'm really happy with the design and everything. The photographs from place are mine. The studio shots were done in New York. The book's published in New York. My editor, Ann Brampson, lives there. And Artisan's the publisher. I really have this belief that the best way to get access, or for me at least, the easiest and best way to get access to a culture is through the food. If I go somewhere I haven't been before, I go hang out at the markets, at bakeries, at coffee shops, whatever, tea shops, and it's an insight into culture. What do people make, especially the home cooking? So I start with the markets, and then you look at what grows as well. It's a way of connecting, and we eat every day. And if we're not eating every day, we're thinking about food every day because we don't have it. I mean, we don't, but we're always, food's in there every day. And what else really can you say that about, you know? And so it's something we all share. So when I'm thinking about Iran, which has been treated as this kind of black hole or evil empire or whatever else in the media so much and in political discourse, I want with this book to remind people first that there was a Persian Empire and that there's this extraordinary cultural richness that we have gained from in centuries, the last millennia actually, but also that there's human beings living there, and they're home cooks, and they're sending their kids to school, and they're living their daily lives, and they didn't choose to be ruled by the people who are making messes at the top level. I live in Toronto in Canada, at least in North America, whether it's in the States or in Canada, we can say even if we hate our governments or get mad at a particular politician, well, somebody voted for them, yeah. Right? I mean, we can be mad at our neighbor for voting for them, but somebody voted for them. But there's many places in the world, people didn't vote for those people, and yet they're still having to live under that label, you know, under the label of you know, the people in North Korea didn't choose that guy, for example. And so I wanted to engage people here with people there with travel stories and food, you know.
It's such an interesting concept because, yeah, there are many recipes in this book, but it's so much more than that. What can a recipe teach us about world peace?
Oh, well, just a recipe gives us a connection. You think, you read the recipe and you think, actually, that sounds pretty good. Let me try that. Well, when you try it, say you make it, you're doing something that someone somewhere else in the world is doing, and you might then spare a thought for that person or think, you feel a sense of connection. Maybe that makes you think, that was Armenian. Let me look and let me notice news about Armenia. And, next time I'm reading the paper or reading the news, let me look on the map and see where that is.
Yeah,
what does that mean? Where are the mountains? You know, where is the sea? How do people live there?
And I don't think a recipe says anything about world peace. But the way it can contribute to world peace is that the recipe shows that we're all humans, that the differences between us that live in the West is not much, as human beings, is not much than the Iranians or the Armenians or the Azerbaijanis or the Georgians living in their respective countries. You know, we all love, we all have relationships, we all express ourselves. And one of the things that I find really beautiful about Naomi's book is presenting the current Iranian culture with its mighty history of the empire, of the Persian Empire, and the Iranian culture and the government now, which we don't really think very highly of in the West, and presenting them as human beings that have just everyday normal issues as we do, the schooling, the making sure that the house is right, the apartment is paid for, the car is fixed, and at the same time eaten.
And that supper's on the table.
And
you know, that's the other thing.
Right.
I mean, it's, you know, how do people go about making food every day? What do they use? How do they play with it? You know, it's good.
And I think what is really valuable about this book and just Naomi's writing in general is she introduces us the culture through the food. And I have a close connection to her with that disposition because that's what I do at Serevan. I, for the last 12 years, in a very indirect way, introduce the Iranian-Armenian culture. That is a very elusive idea or maybe a misconstrued idea for a lot of people. And that gives me a lot of joy and excitement.
We're joined today by Chef Serge Medikians of Serevan in Armenia. Also today by Naomi Duguid, whose book Taste of Persia came out late last month. And Naomi will be doing, I guess it's a book signing at Serevan, right?
That's right. There's a book signing on Sunday between 3 and 5 at Serevan, and Naomi and I will cook.
Oh, what are you cooking?
Well, we've got a few tasty things for people to snack on. You know, it's sort of onerous, a book signing, right? You got to stand around and chat and maybe have a glass of wine. So
it doesn't sound so bad.
Yeah, there you go. There you have it.
Then drive down to Serevan.
Drive down to Serevan. Armenia's pretty close. It's egg roll-ups, which are Georgian, and they're cooked strips of eggplant filled with some walnut paste and rolled up. And the only problem with them is, I was saying this to Serge yesterday, as you bite into them, it's such a good feeling of bite and good taste. You're thinking already about picking up another one have another one. So I said to Serge, we have to make a lot.
Yeah, definitely make more than you think
right?
you will
yeah,
need.
Yeah, so I was at the Bard College Farm yesterday and got 20 pounds of eggplant. So
there we go.
Eggplant roll-ups on Sunday.
Fantastic. In fact, that's in the book.
That's in the book, absolutely.
Yep. And that caught my attention right away.
Well, there you go.
There you go.
That's
number
right,
to call,
in the green room you were talking about.
That's
that.
Right. The number to call is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. We're joined today by Naomi Duguid and Serge Medikians. So how many miles did you log in researching this book?
I have no idea.
But how long did it take?
I made a trip to Iran. I've only been to Iran once. Couldn't get back a second time because things got more controlled for Canadians going there. And so I'm hoping to take a tour group there next year. But in the meantime, I like to go and hang out. And now Canadians have to have a minder with them if you're going on your own, or you can go in a group. But I like traveling on my own and just being free to, you know, wander and smell the roses, as it were, fall into conversations with people. If I had a minder with me, first costs more money.
Right.
But secondly, nobody's going to come up and chat to me if they see there's some, I always visualize it as some big guy, but, you know, somebody lurking, you know, keeping track of
yeah.
me. So, but then lots of trips to the Caucasus, to Azerbaijan, Georgia, Armenia, and also to Kurdistan in Iraq, which is such an interesting place. Really fascinating.
Such an unfamiliar place.
And completely unfamiliar. It's being closed away.
Yeah.
Saddam Hussein made war with the Kurds a lot. And now, you know, ISIS is making war with the Kurds. But it's just it's on along the Iranian border. It's beautiful, green, hilly country. And the Kurds have, they speak a language related to Persian.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a rice culture that's quite different from Persian rice. I was really surprised. I had no idea. So it's more like arborio. I mean, it's a shorter grain rice. And they just cook their rice quite differently. And just the whole culture, the whole place was so interesting and so new to me, and I felt it was important to include it in the book because they have been closed off for
so long.
Well,
when did you go?
I went in April, May of 20. I'm just trying to think. It was 6 weeks before ISIS broke out and into Iraq.
Interesting.
So that would be 2014.
So, yeah. Not without peril.
It was completely safe. I mean, I wanted to go before Syria was already a disastrous mess. There was some fighting in Iraq and Anbar province, but I knew I was fine to fly from Istanbul directly into Kurdistan, and I was perfectly fine. And I said to Kurds in Kurdistan, so what happens if the fighting in the rest of Iraq comes to you, or what if this mess in Syria spills over? It's not that I'm a magical, prescient thinker. It's just that it was such a mess. And then it did. And they said, no, the Peshmerga will take care of us. That is the Kurdish fighters. Well, that didn't go quite as they planned, but eventually they've now pushed back. And I would go back to Kurdistan now. It's secure now. I'm not a war zone junkie or anything like that.
Hmm.
I'm interested in people's daily lives, not in their lives in crisis.
It seems to me that you could have a book about the writing of the book.
Well, what I'd
There's
like to
always,
do is just,
yeah.
I'd like to go, that's always yeah. true, I think, but I'd love to just go back more, you know. So that's why I'm hoping to get back, take a tour group to Georgia and a tour group to Iran next fall in 2017. And let's hope that the world is a peaceful enough place that's an easy thing to do.
And I think it's important to say that it took 4 years.
The book did take 4 years to do. Yeah, yeah.
Well, you made it here to Albany, New York.
Well,
and
exactly.
Congratulations. You also have a minder. It's working out very well.
That's right.
The number to call here is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. We're joined today by Naomi Duguid and Sarah Zmedikians, and we'll be back on a Food Friday.
Support for WAMC comes from Pekarsky's, South Deerfield, Massachusetts. Family-owned since 1948, offering sausages from kielbasa to Italian to bratwurst and smoked meats. Home of New England farm-made sausage, open 7 days. Pekarsky's.com. Cafe Capriccio, Chef Jim Rua, working to preserve and maintain the traditions of Italian cuisine and hospitality since 1982 on Grand Street in Albany, New York. CafeCapriccio.com. The Waldorf School of Saratoga Springs, hosting their annual Autumn Festival at their 62 York Avenue location on Saturday, October 15th. WaldorfSaratoga.org for details. Elements Hot Tub Spa, downtown Amherst, Massachusetts, offering hot tubs in 5 indoor or outdoor private rooms, plus a team of massage therapists for individuals and couples. ElementsHotTubSpa.com for gift certificates and photo gallery. Spirit House, Amherst, Massachusetts, a family-owned wine, beer, and spirits retailer, offering organically farmed wines from around the world. Wine tastings, Saturday afternoons, spirithaus.com. And the 17th Annual Film Columbia Festival, with features, documentaries, and independent films from around the world, screening in Hudson and Chatham, New York, October 22nd through 30th, filmcolumbia.org for tickets.
It's Vox Pop Food Friday on a lovely Friday afternoon, 2:22. Ray Graff here. Today we're joined by Naomi Duguid, whose new book is Taste of Persia, also joined by Chef Sarah Zmedikians. And Naomi will be doing a book signing at Chef's restaurant, Saravan, and that is in Armenia, New York. And it's Sunday at 3 o'clock, Sunday 3 to 5 p.m. And, yeah, there will be some food served. So
yeah, and then also she's doing, more excitingly, a cooking class tomorrow at Hillsdale Home Chef Kitchenware and Classes. Where
it's in a beautiful pink painted building.
Oh,
yes. Anybody's driven through Hillsdale. Gorgeous.
Sure.
And a really nice room. We will be doing what recipes? We will be doing warme sabzi.
We'll be doing a Georgian chakapuli, a recipe with tarragon, and it's a stew, lamb stew, and a Georgian adjika, which is a green chili paste. And then Persian herbed rice. And then a burani, it's a Persian dish. It's kind of interesting. You cook a vegetable, you drain the yogurt. Are you looking puzzled, Ray, or are you looking pleased?
Oh, both. Looking, no, okay. I'm very pleased. I'm also looking at the callers coming in.
Okay.
Don't mind me.
We're doing a burani. So you cook vegetables and then you mix, in this case we're doing beets, mix it with thick yogurt and a little bit of fried onion. And it's just delicious.
It's a wonderful side dish.
And then some cookies from Yazd in central Iran.
Ooh.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Almond cookies.
With honey and flour essence.
They're very.
Did you bring any of those?
No, sorry, sweetie.
Come on, Naomi.
I know. I'm not with
next
the program.
Next time.
It's a deal.
I thought you were more interested in something alcoholic cocktailish.
How did I get that reputation?
A cookie to eat with this. Yeah.
The number to call is 800-348-2551, and we will get to the calls in a moment. This one came in via email. This one's from Andrew. And, you know, in the break, we were talking about herbs and spices and some of the things that we can learn here in America from what you learned while you were writing Taste of Persia. Well, this question is from Andrew, and it says, can you guys talk about sumac as a spice? I occasionally use staghorn, local wild, in my cooking. I wanted to see if you guys have ever meddled with it. And that's from Andrew.
Well, I use sumac, and of course Serge uses sumac at the restaurant. And for people who don't know what it is, I mean, we know the sumac tree here in North America, but sumac as a spice is a gorgeous, very dark red, rich red, sort of slightly sparkly looking powder. And it's made from a related plant in the Eastern Mediterranean. And it's used widely in Azerbaijan and then in the Eastern Mediterranean. It's not used so much in Iran, but it's
in
the northern part of Iran is all, but not in the south. It has a kind of a lemony, tingly, lovely sort of acidic kind of effect on the tongue. And so in Azerbaijan, it's on the table as a condiment. You have, as you would have salt and pepper, you have this little bowl of very attractive deep red sparkles that you can sprinkle on your whatever.
Almost deep burgundy.
Yeah, deep burgundy. You can sprinkle it on a salad. You can put it on kebabs. It's very nice on fish. To finish, after you've grilled some fish, you can sprinkle on a little sumac. Serge, how do you use it?
I use it anytime I want a little tang.
Yeah, a little tingle on the tongue.
Tang, little excitement, little surprise element. It was wonderful to see in your book the ubiquitous Middle Eastern salad of cucumbers, tomatoes, and red onions
sprinkle
with mint in Azerbaijan, but also in Azeris, they sprinkle a little bit of sumac, which I thought, what a great idea.
Have you used the staghorn? Have you used the local sumac? Have you tried to substitute?
No, because I always get
Iranian
or Syrian sumac from...
So, Andrew, I wonder if Andrew's listening, if you have you ever used... Middle Eastern sumac, or have you only played around with the
well, he says local wild, but
I have. I have with the local one, and the local one is really mild.
Oh, I see.
You have to make sure that it's dried and it's not the white, which is the poisonous one, but the red
one. Yeah, that would not be good.
And then you want to dry it a little bit, but it's got a much milder flavor. Middle Eastern Iranian sumac is actually
quite a punchy little
tingle. What makes the tingle? Have you done a chemical analysis?
I don't know.
I don't know what causes the acidity.
Good question. All right, let's go to Chris in Sandgate, Vermont. Chris, you're on.
Hi, folks. How are you all?
Good.
Good.
Okay. I have a lot of Middle Eastern friends in Watertown, Massachusetts. A big community there. And a lot of things that I've had there I enjoy greatly. One of them particularly is... it's a paste or a dip called chemen. And usually you take a pita bread, dip it in, and eat it. It's hot. It's indescribable. The flavor is quite indescribable.
Do you know its ingredients?
It's red.
It's red.
Yeah, I'm wondering what the ingredients are because I've never really, you know, I ask, you know, what the deal is, and the ladies are like, oh, I don't really know how to, you know, translate it to you know.
So where are they from? Are they Syrian or?
Turkish?
Just one.
Armenian, mostly.
Can I just interject for a moment, Chris? Chris, could you turn your radio down there, bub? Appreciate it.
Oh, it's off. I'm sorry.
Well, that's very interesting because we're hearing ourselves, and I sound terrific. All right, let's go on.
Chairman, it's...
We have satellite telephone. It may be that.
Okay.
Sorry.
All right.
I suspect he's talking about the Turkish... Armenian bell pepper.
Yeah, you're saying it's a red paste and it's a little bit sweet and a little bit hot?
Well, I don't know how sweet it is. I mean, and it's so hot, basically you excrete it through your pores. You basically have to sweat it out. It's hot.
Sounds attractive.
Well, well, it's really interesting because you know it's talking about Armenian food. The food in Western Armenia, which is now what is part of Turkey, is much more Mediterranean and tends more to have the hotter flavor.
Exactly.
Whereas in Eastern Armenia, which is the Republic of Armenia that I am talking about in the book, there tends to be much less chili heat. And so I haven't run across that. And Serge, being Armenian from Iran, also hasn't run across it. I wonder if anybody else would like to call in, if they're Western Armenian, if they have run across this word cheman.
Okay. I'm sure one of our listeners
really
will know.
Some people
know.
It's
proven to be a tough one.
Huh?
It's a tough one. I've been trying to find this recipe for 20 years or more. Chemen, I think.
Okay.
Cheman. Yeah.
Cheman.
Okay.
Well, we'll find out, Chris.
Thank you very much.
Yep.
Thanks, Chris.
Thanks a lot for the call. The number is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. We're joined today by Naomi Duguid, who is the author of Taste of Persia, also won 2 James Beard Awards for other books. What books won the awards?
A book called Flatbreads and Flavors a long time ago. And actually for that one, that's the first time I went to Georgia in 1989 when it was still part of the Soviet Union. And then the other book is a book called Hot, Sour, Salty, Sweet, which was about mainland Southeast Asia, Thailand, Laos, Vietnam.
You got a travel budget.
Well,
you write this off
I,
your taxes y- up in Canada?
You know, yeah. It's if you travel really cheaply, you know, and the way to travel cheaply is actually find a cheap plane ticket and then stay for a long time. Because if the place isn't expensive, you know,
sure,
you're amortizing your plane ticket over a lot of months, right?
Yeah.
So that's how you do it.
Genius. That's why you win awards. Let's go to Eric in Red Hook. Eric, you're on.
Hey, good afternoon. I had the great good fortune to be the son of diplomats, and I grew up, by the time I was 15, I'd spent 9 years in Turkey.
And I
have been forever trying to fill in, you know, the food that I grew up with, and the tastes are very difficult to duplicate here. In particular, what I wanted to ask you is, what spices am I looking for to get lamb to taste the way I remember it with kofta and kebabs and whatever? There's the sumac that somebody called about a little while ago is important, and it's difficult to duplicate here. But there's something else, and I don't really know, and maybe the Persian base that you're more familiar with is different, but I'm assuming that, you know, that maybe the Ottoman influence from long ago sort of permeated all of that.
Well,
you know what I would be looking for?
Well, the first thing is that the lamb grew up there instead of growing up here.
Exactly.
So there's a limit to how close you can get, okay? So you have to forgive yourself for not getting it exactly because, you know, lambs are eating grass in Turkey instead of eating grass in New York State, right? So that said, one of the things that I think is a secret ingredient in the whole region, you know, I think it probably originated with the Persians or the Armenians or the Georgians and then has now permeated Turkish cuisine because the Ottomans came later, is the cooked down tart pomegranate juice that turns itself and is called pomegranate molasses. If you put some pomegranate molasses in a marinade for a kebab, for a lamb kebab, you will not believe the difference. And if you put a little dash of it in your ground lamb together with a little bit of yogurt, maybe some dried mint, and maybe a little bit of garlic, you will not believe the sliders that you make. You just won't believe the sliders.
That's a fantastic tip. I never would have thought of that.
Okay, and so remember with the sliders, about a teaspoon of salt per pound of meat and about a quarter cup of yogurt and then a kind of generous splash of pomegranate molasses. And do you use it already? Do you have it in your pantry, pomegranate molasses?
No, I'm going to have to go and look for that.
And I should tell you, if you have a pen, there's a book coming out next year called Istanbul and Beyond by a couple. Her name is Robin with a Y, Robin Eckert. And have a lookout for that, because they're traveling all over Turkey for that, but they have traveled a lot. And she speaks Turkish, and her husband is the photographer. And you might find that also helps you with kind of getting a feel. Okay?
Very interesting. The other observation I was going to say is that oregano here in the United States is an Italian oregano.
Yeah, forget
and
it.
And it seems like Mediterranean oregano is a very different
flavor. It's very snobbish of you to say that.
No, forget it for what he's trying to do. It's not the same thing.
I got you.
Yeah, you could try actually, instead of oregano, they call it oregano, but you could actually try some za'atar, the thyme, and not the za'atar mixture, but the thyme from the Eastern Mediterranean, and see what that does. But go lightly, because I find it a little overpowering.
Thank you.
Hey, Eric, thanks a lot for the call. Our number here is 800-348-2551. We're joined today by Chef Serge Medikians of Saravan in Armenia, also today by author Naomi Duguid, whose book Taste of Persia is on the menu here today on a Food Friday. So much more than a cookbook. This small essay on the train conversation is so interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a conversation I had with a young woman on the train, overnight train from Kerman in southern Iran up to Mashhad in the north. Yeah, she was just, I wanted to know what it was like for her mother, who had lived through the revolution. So she would have gone from being able to be out in the street, her mother was a professor, out in the street, you know, in a skirt and like normal Western clothing, to being obliged to cover herself. And she said she'd never talked to her mother about that. She thought the area was too painful to talk about. So I asked her about her perspective. She was in her 20s, also a teacher, and traveling by herself on the train to visit her husband, because they hadn't yet moved in together, found a house. And she said, we want evolution, not revolution. And I think because there have been so many attempts to make sort of rough change in Iran, including the failed revolution of 2009, they'd given up and just, okay, let's just try and get ourselves to a more progressive place, which is what this, so when I was there, people were so thrilled at the prospect that there would be the nuclear deal. Oh, good, you know, we can start being treated like normal people again, you know, because they're fed up with being behind that wall of not just sanctions, but also the judgmentalism of the world. When they didn't choose the government, they're ostracized, and it's not it's horrible, you know.
Yeah.
Persians.
Well, I'll pose this to both of you. What is it about not the country, but the people in Iran that the West gets wrong or the media gets wrong? What's the one thing?
Oh, just that they're human beings with an extraordinary tradition of hospitality and generosity and an incredible depth of culture. And did you ever see that film, The Separation? It won the Oscar for Best Foreign Film about 5 years ago. Fabulous. That was an Iranian director. There's all sorts of literature.
You should look it up and see the movie.
And filmmaking. Farhadi is his, the filmmaker. He's got a new film out this year. I saw it at the Toronto Film Festival called The Salesman. Fantastic. So there's just all this culture, and we're locked off from it. I mean, yes, the films get out, but I mean, we really, it's not part of our mainstream awareness of Iran, is I guess what I would say.
Our number here is 800-348-2551. Let's go to Gail. Let's see if I hit the button, Ray, you nitwit. Okay, Gail in Great Barrington. Gail, you're on.
Hi, good afternoon.
Hi.
I was listening to your broadcast, and when I heard Chaman, I referred to my Armenian cookbook.
Great.
And I do have a recipe for it.
Aha. Go ahead.
It's spelled Chaimen, uh-huh. Chaman. Uh-huh. And it's 3 tablespoons of Chaman, which is fenugreek.
Uh-huh.
3 tablespoons of paprika. Uh-huh. 1/2 tablespoon of salt. 1/2 tablespoon of black pepper. a half a tablespoon of cumin, which I can't shed any light on that just at the moment.
What is it? The last one? That ingredient? What
cumin.
Is it?
Spell it.
Cumin. K-I-M-I-O-N.
Cumin.
Cumin. Interesting. You're stumping the band.
A quarter of a tablespoon of cayenne, a quarter of a tablespoon of allspice, and 3 cloves of garlic. Now, this is meant to be like a dry rub for preparing beef or sausage.
You know, it's like the word chermoula in Moroccan food. It sounds to me like it's an Arabic.
But it's also sounds like the rub on basturma, which is the Armenian.
Sorry, we interrupted you. Yeah. Uh-huh.
No.
What is the name of the book?
It's Treasured Armenian Recipes. It was a book that was given to me by my mother. It was given to her by my aunt. The date goes back to 1949.
Fabulous. Thank you. Who's the author?
It's several women from a church.
Oh, it's that church cookbook. Oh, it's not what's the church? Saint. I have a
Is it in Boston area, or do you know where does it say? Or in Los Angeles?
Yes, it is
or?
The Boston area, because, again, my aunt, Alex Manoogian, she is from Watertown.
Okay.
Thank
so
you.
It would
that's
be that
great.
Area.
Cumin, I wonder whether that's coriander.
Well, Ian Pickus, our news director, just emailed and said it might just be cumin.
Oh, it might be cumin.
Yeah.
Aha.
That's true. Right.
He's a genius, even though he's a young fellow. Yeah.
He's good. Okay, so I wonder if that fenugreek is the leaves or the ground seed.
Probably the ground seed.
Yeah. You know, it's very interesting because it's sort of like it's got some elements in it of the Georgian spice rub and Georgian spice powder, Kmeli Suneli. It's not at all exactly the same, but it's just people working with what they have, including fenugreek, some hot chili, and so clearly the one that Andrew had was made with a lot of cayenne, right? Your recipe doesn't sound quite as hot as his sounded.
Gail, thanks a lot for that call. We
thank
appreciate
you so much.
It.
Yeah, Gail, thank you.
It is Vox Pop Food Friday, joined today by Naomi Duguid and Serge Medikian. We'll take a break here, 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. We'll be right back.
Support for WAMC comes from J. Rich Clothing, Northampton, Massachusetts. Fashion-forward menswear by Theory, Patrick Assaraf, Robert Graham, and Diesel, Main Street, Northampton. jrichclothing.com and Instagram. The Arkell Museum at Canajoharie, presenting Circus Circus, featuring the Beechnut Miniature Circus alongside circus paintings by Everett Shin, Norman Rockwell, and more. arkellmuseum.org. Gloriosa & Company, Ashfield, Massachusetts. New barn wedding venue and heated antique greenhouse, offering tailored catering, garden to vase flowers, and 4 bed and breakfast rooms. GloriosaCO.com. Uncle Sam's All American Chocolate Factory, offering over 100 chocolates, including truffles, buttercrunch, and sea salted caramels, located on Albany Street, Schenectady, and Newton Plaza, Loudonville. UncleSam'sCandy.com. The Black Sheep, Downtown Amherst, a New York style delicatessen and European style all butter scratch bakery, caterer, and cafe, offering fair trade coffee. BlackSheepDeli.com. And Step Up Presents, an evening with Bill Maher, live stand-up tour, Sunday, November 6th at the Palace Theater. Ticketmaster.com for tickets.
Quick question, do you know what happens a week from Monday? That's right, it's the Fun Drive. WAMC's Million Dollar Fun Drive begins a week from Monday at 6 a.m. with Alan Shartok in Pledge Central. And our goal, of course, $1 million. Well, we have a goal here in the lockbox at our website, WAMC.org. We want to make $400,000 before the drive begins. And if we do that, one of our great friends of the station, Jane Kane, will give us another $10,000. Now, we have about a week and a few days to raise quite a bit of money. We've raised $284,000 and change in the lockbox so far. That means by my very limited radio man brain, we got about $116,000 to go in the next week. And if we can do that, We'll be so far ahead in this fun drive. I urge you to go to WAMC.org. Yeah, if you want to go to see the Capitol Steps, a WAMC-only event at the Egg, we have about 60 pairs of those tickets for a $125 pledge. But the main thing is kicking in now and getting back to regular programming just as soon as we can. It's Vox Pop. It is Food Friday. Ray Graff here, joined today by Naomi Duguid and Serj Medikians. And do I get the name wrong?
No, no.
Got it right?
Beautifully.
I'm working on it so hard.
You've done good.
Because, you know, it doesn't look like that in the spelling.
It's a bit of a bizarre name.
I was actually all morning kind of obsessing about it, having performance anxiety. It's fine now. The number is 800-348-2551. So the cooking, all right, let's get this straight. Sunday is the book signing.
Exactly.
At Saravon.
Yep. Yes.
But there is a cooking class tomorrow.
That's right, Naomi's at 11 o'clock.
And this is both of you.
Well,
you get liquored up and make a lot of jokes?
He says he's going to help me, but I know that I'm just going to rely on him. It's in Hillsdale.
Yeah.
And there's this gorgeous, we went there today to look. There's a gorgeous
Hillsdale
general
Home
store.
Chef and Kitchenware
there's
and
a
classes.
General store, and then across the road is this beautiful pink house that's being transformed into a cook store, and then upstairs is the chef's place, and it's wonderful. So we're going to be there at 11, from 11 to 1:30, and it's going to be a good menu. Some Georgian dishes, some Persian dishes. You know, there's
I'm going
to
be Naomi's
sous
chef.
Oh, you are?
She's going to order me around.
Oh, I find that extraordinarily hard to believe.
You know, I have a feeling that she's going to give me all, I have to do all the cutting and butchering.
Yeah, and he's going to have to drain the rice. And, you know.
Oh, really? Oh, this will be entertaining. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And how can people find out more about that?
Oh, they can definitely call 518-325-7000.
And you say it's 11 a.m. tomorrow?
11 a.m. tomorrow.
All right, man, that's great. Well, that sounds like a lot of fun, and
I'm actually looking forward to it. It's going to be a lot of fun.
So if I went, would you teach me how to maybe make some macaroni or
only
some, boil
if
some
behave
water?
Well.
Well, you know, I'm not going to do that. All right, back to the phones we go at 800-348-2551. Elliot in Lenox. Elliot, you're on.
Great. I was listening to your show. I'm very interested in it. I'm married to a second-generation Armenian lady. But I heard, while I was just listening, hot, sour, salty, sweet. And I said, you know, that... I think I remember that. And I ran around and I got out this wonderful book and I saw that Naomi was one of the authors of it,
yep.
Which is really a trip down the Mekong. I had Chinese partners and we worked in Kunming and all the way up and down Cambodia, Myanmar, Laos, et cetera. And when I got home from most of this work, I bought the book. It's one of the most beautiful books in terms of pictures and recipes. And several times and this is something it's just wonderful to do, is to get a group of people together and develop a menu going down the Mekong. And I've done that several times, and there'll be people that have been to one or more of these countries. It's just a wonderful thing that gave me great joy. So I want to thank you, Naomi. This was a lot of work.
Thanks for letting me know.
How much time did you spend there doing this?
Well, I wrote it with my now ex, Jeffrey Alford, and we traveled there with the kids, and then made separate trips. It was like a three-year project, you know, but we were also drawing on some earlier experiences. And at the time, actually, it came out in 2000. It was 25 years after the end of the Vietnam War, but the editor had the same, there was an anxiety about the political implications of using the word Mekong in the title, so we didn't. We just called it hot, sour, salty, sweet, because people, and similarly now writing about Iran, about Persian, Azerbaijan, I think it's quite brave in some ways, given the political climate, that the publisher agreed to have this book out there. But in fact, once it comes out, it radiates a whole lot of interesting things for people and helps them cross-connect to real knowledge of the region.
Are you going to have... it's going to be pictured like this, the Asian book was?
Yes, it's got photographs and stories. It's a different trim size. That book is wide, and this is just a more of a standard book shape, if you know what I mean. But yes, it's got photographs of people and places and markets.
And you took all the photos?
I took all the photos, not the studio shots, which are by Gentle and Hires, but the others, they're all
beautiful photography.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. They're
everyone's
really
being
beautiful.
So nice.
And
well,
I'm
thank
just
you.
Talking. I don't have your new book, but I've had this old one.
Yeah,
and
no,
it's beautiful photography.
Well, I'm really glad to hear about people cooking from it, too. It always makes me happy.
And if you're interested, you can come to Saravon in Armenia, New York, and meet her in person and get a copy of the book when we have the book signing.
Well, you see, now that's promotion.
There you go.
It is Sunday, October 9th, 3 p.m. at Saravon. And our number here is 800-348-2551. Lynette in Hudson. Lynette, you're on.
Hello?
Ah, you're on.
You hear me?
Yes.
Yeah. My phone just made a funny noise. Hang on, I'm plugging it in.
There's a plan.
I get that a lot. Hello, are you there?
All right. Can you hear me now?
Splendid. Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I just want to make a couple of points. I live in Hudson. So anyone who lives in New York and doesn't know where to get Middle Eastern ingredients, Central Avenue, great Middle Eastern and Near Eastern shops. That's where I get all my stuff. Pomegranate molasses, best stuff on earth. It's fantastic.
I'm so glad you agree with me.
Yeah, it's great. I'm a vegetarian, and you don't miss meat for one second when you're eating this kind of food. And the other thing is, a couple of years ago, I was lucky enough to go to Istanbul, and I just could not believe that they didn't even, like, know that processed food existed. Everything was made from scratch. Everything. And I was just so impressed, because I don't eat processed food myself, and I just thought it was just beautiful that everything was presented as it was supposed to be. And that's it. That's all
well,
I got.
Well, thank you.
Thanks.
Very well said. We appreciate it. Our number here is 800-348-2551. Let's go to, I hope I don't screw up your name. Is it Gwen or Gwen?
No, it's Gwen.
Ah, well, I had it right the first time. You're on.
It sounds like Gwen. Most of the people think I'm a woman. I have no problem with that, except my voice tells I'm a man.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm Turkish. I've been in this country for 48 years. Best way to, I guess, get rid of the homesickness is cook from home. So I've learned basically how to cook. And when mom was alive, I used to write to her, call her how to do this, that kind of things. So I developed great taste and skill to cook Turkish. A couple of things I noticed. You couldn't identify çemen. Çemen is red stuff. It's covered pastırma. That's the meat.
Uh-huh. You were right. Serge said that. Yeah, that's great. Uh-huh.
It's a red pepper paste and a lot of garlic in it.
Exactly.
So much garlic that when you eat that, your skin gives away you ate that.
anyway. There's that image again. Thank you.
Some people don't eat cement because they smell a lot from 10 yards away. Second thing, the pronunciation of cumin, it is in Turkish, or at least the way we do it, kimyon. So that individual was really trying to spell kimyon is basically cumin.
And that's, you see, what's so interesting is that that recipe was in a treasured Armenian recipes book because there was such a huge Armenian community living in what is now Turkey that would have been a recipe that was picked up by the Western Armenian community and made a part of their repertoire. But it actually seems to start out as a Turkish recipe. And what tipped Serge off to thinking it had to be Turkish was the amount of red chili, that it's red, right? That's more Turkish than Armenian.
It's red, and then also the fenugreek.
Well, let me give you a secret. Yeah. Turks, when they came to Anatolia, they were totally nomad. So what nomad eats really shish kebab and very simple things. When they came to Anatolia, they found these sophisticated people, Armenians, Greeks, and others left over of the Byzantine Empire, and they've learned most of the intriguing food from them. If there is any Turkish food today, really, we have to call Turkish. Basically, we learn from Armenians and Greeks.
Güven, I think you've summarized the history of the region in four sentences that just nail it absolutely.
And Güven, where do you live?
I live in Rexford. It's the corner of Kilsen Park, Albany.
It's
north. I just want to say that. I'm giving you a gift certificate for two at my restaurant.
Just phone Saravan.
Phone
Saravan and tell him that you're coming. Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of fights.
And I give you a gift certificate of my restaurant in Kilsen Park.
Oh, that's great. Well, good for you. Hey, man, thanks a lot for that
thanks,
call.
Given.
Let's go to Alexandra in Valencia. Alexandra, you're on.
Hi, yes. I think that the gentleman that just covered what I was going to say. I was going to talk about çemen because I thought it was a little different than what the lady had described being a rub. Like the one that I encountered was in a restaurant in Troy called Alibaba, and it's a paste, like the gentleman said. So I just wanted to give the recipe, but I think he kind of like covered it already.
You mean
already.
In Troy, when you say Troy, New York?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Troy, New York, yeah.
Uh-huh. And
yeah.
It's served as a paste to eat with bread.
It is, yes.
Oh, well, that's what the first caller called when he had a question. He had a question
yes.
about a paste like that. Yeah.
Yes, and he's right. It's quite, spicy, and it's delicious, though. And it has red pepper paste, tomato paste, fenugreek. It has cumin, cloves, olive oil, lemon juice, and black pepper. And it's just delicious, absolutely delicious.
Mm-hmm.
Thank
and when you.
You
say spicy, meaning mixture of a lot of spices or spicy heat spice?
No, I think I guess it depends on how much garlic
you put
uh-huh. but it's
yep.
spicy in both ways. It makes you kind of like hot and it's just delicious from all the spices. So.
Thank you, Alexandra. That's
we appreciate
great
the
news.
Call.
Thank you.
Let's go over to Doug in Lime Rock, Connecticut. Doug, you're on.
Hey, hi. I have friends who own an orchard, and their family is from the Ukraine, and they have some quince trees.
Oh, lovely.
And yeah, and I made some, you know, membrillo, or mm-hmm. how do they say in Portuguese, marmelado. But I was curious how, if you get it, how do you like to use quince?
Well, there's a couple of things I can think of from the region, actually. One of them is to use it in a pulao, a pilaf. That's what people use a little further into Central Asia, especially like in Uzbekistan or the Uyghurs in Xinjiang. And so you just use it like you would use green apple, kind of like with lamb, cook it in a pulao. Another thing that I... No,
do you
so
mean
you
pulao
must have,
like rice?
Like
or?
Rice pulao uh-huh. with lamb. And it's just
yeah,
a plov.
Right.
Plov. What do you do with it?
I love quince. I actually just picked some up from Montgomery Place Orchard yesterday near Bard College. I use it a lot with lamb stew or
yes.
beef stew. It's a great thickener. Instead of using flour in a stew or potato starch or any sort of starch,
and it has a lovely aroma.
It can it exactly, and it really counteracts. Sometimes lamb can have a unpleasant smell or unpleasant flavor to it, depending, especially if it's a little bit older lamb. It really counteracts that, but also given the fact that a lot of people have gluten issues, grated quince, sautéing it with the onions, really acts as a great thickener.
And you just cut it up and just...
I cut it up. Thanks for reminding me. I cut it up and I grate it coarsely or finely on a grater. Okay. And then I save the seeds. I spent my childhood in Iran, and anytime I had any sign of catching a cold or getting sick, I was given a seed of a quince, was taken out of the freezer and given to me to suck on as a way of
vitamin
fighting
C, right?
off. You know, I don't know what is inside of it.
I wonder what it is, yeah.
Placebo effect?
Yeah, the seeds of quince.
Interesting. Very interesting. Doug, you want to follow up real quick? We're almost out of time.
Well, yeah, so I used the seeds. I took the skins and the seeds and I put them in like a little muslin bag when I was making some quince jelly.
Uh-huh. Right. Yummy.
Because it has natural pectin in it.
Right.
Right.
But I've never heard of using the seeds to ward off a cold. I love that idea.
Well, you know, that's because you didn't grow up in Iran.
And the other thing you can do with a quince is if you're a bread baker, you can take a bread dough, a rested bread dough, wrap it around a whole quince, and put it in the oven and bake let it rest and then bake it. It's like a round boule shape. And when you cut it open, the quince will be cooked. It'll be turned a gorgeous pink color, and the whole
yeah.
thing will be perfumed with quince.
Ah.
Highly recommended.
Nice.
Well, thanks a lot, Doug. We appreciate the call very much.
Thanks for your
All
call.
Right, we're just about out of time here. Once again, to reiterate your schedule, and thank you for coming from Toronto for all of this. You got a show out of the way. Tomorrow is a class, and the class is at 11 a.m.?
At 11 a.m. in Hillsdale, and people can call for information 518-325-7000.
Okay.
And then a book signing at Saravan at the restaurant in Aminia on Sunday at 3 o'clock,
and
3 to 5.
What's on the menu for that again?
Oh, well, there's some eggplant roll-ups. There's a lovely
There will be
walnut
a basturma roll. There will be some nazuk.
Yummy things.
Good. Well, this is great. Well, I really appreciate you coming down, driving no less from Toronto for this.
And I didn't get stopped for speeding.
Really?
That's another little miracle.
You know what?
Wood.
That's a kiss of death. You'll get a ticket on the way back.
I'm touching wood and hoping that my luck holds.
Well, thank you both for being here. And
thank you for having us.
Taste of Persia book is a really nicely presented.
It's beautiful. The designer, everybody's done such a lovely job, and it'll be for sale at the book signing and also in Hillsdale.
And it's a thoughtful book.
Thank you. Yes,
and it's a wonderful way to learn about cultures that we in the West know very little about, and the media misrepresents it often.
Yeah.
Well, you said it well, Sarahs. We appreciate you both being here. Sarahs Medikians and Naomi Duguid. Last time I got it right?
You did beautifully.
Duguid, nothing. I didn't get it wrong at all. And we thank you all for listening and for the great calls and the email.
Fabulous calls. Really great calls.
Fun, right?
Yeah, really fun.
Well, you'll come back.
Sure.
You know,
absolutely.
Maybe
I'll bring you cookies next time.
Maybe we'll pitch in for the gas next time.
Okay,
it's a bit of a commute. Support
Wait,
comes.
I thought you were going to fly her in.
This is public radio, dude. Support comes from Blue Heron Restaurant and Catering, offering full-service catering at the restaurant in Sunderland and throughout Western Massachusetts. BlueHeronDining.com/catering. Sutter Meats, King Street, Northampton, providing fresh, local, pasture-raised beef, pork, and lamb. Additional house-made items include rotisserie chickens, bone broths, bacon jam, and handmade sausages. SutterMeats.com. Windy Hill Farm, Nursery Orchard on Garden Shop, Great Barrington, offering pick-your-own apples from Windy Hill's orchard and their own unpasteurized natural sweet cider. WindyHillFarmInc.com. And MPAC, presenting Ephraim Asili's Return of Electric Love, Take 2 on October 13th, a 35mm film produced from footage of old kung fu movies, part of the Watering the Flowers film series, empac.rpi.edu. Thanks again to our guests. Thanks to you for listening. Thanks to, thanks to Zach Malloy at the controls. Decent job. Thanks to Barb King, who answered the calls. I'm Ray Graff. Have a lovely weekend. Stand by for news.